You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to link up for Ismas and That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, how are you this morning?
Morena, Rachel. Really well, thank you. Really well.
That is good to hear. Last week when we were speaking with you, we'd obviously heard from the central government about their budget plans for the coming year, and you were about to head into a meeting which was going to discuss what the implications of that for Tāmaki Makaurau and for our local government was going to look like. What came out of that conversation?
Look, we've got some really positive stuff coming, which is really good. I mean, we always love a deficit in Auckland. So we were really looking, I think, as a priority for us with help around our recovery and also for our future growth. So we already had some immediate support. We had, I think, $1.1 million for the relief fund and support for assessing some roading. But in addition to that, $1 billion, the government has set aside $6 billion for what they call the National Resilience Plan. Now, we'll get a cut of that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have exactly the details of that, you know, whether we have to apply or whether we've done a population or what, but it's a the government have said to us it's a proactive piece of work, not a reactive piece of work. And that's good. That's sort of the ambulance at the top of the cliff stuff. There was some public transport announcements. I think there's been quite a lot of coverage around that, you know, free for children 5 to 12,
mm-hmm.
which would be great, and half price up to the age of 25. So that will help with students and school people catching public transport to school. We also got some support to raise bus drivers' wages, which is really important. I think that on top of the border announcements will help the shortage of bus drivers that we've had across the region, which is impacting our ability to service public transport in Auckland quite a lot. I think that will that'll be good. We've got a good relationship with the Minister for Auckland, who's also the Minister of Transport, and he you know really kind of understands the impacts of the storm. But on top of that, we've had some stuff for repairs to schools, social development, housing, etc. And I think there's $100 million held by government to support the management of our climate related flood risks. Look, there's some EV stuff. The government's committed to expanding our EV charging hubs. I think they're going to put one every 150 to 200 kilometres on main highways and put some public charging in community facilities for all settlements with 2,000 or more people, which of course is Auckland. The problem with a lot of the budget stuff, though, from our perspective, is it's over, say, 4 years. And I suppose the discussion with government continues in that space because, you know, they have announced funding, and I think I mentioned this to you last week, they have announced funding for something over a four-year period. You get a bit of it, and then all of a sudden they say they're not doing it anymore. So we're just really trying to lock some stuff in around that.
What are your priorities when it comes to locking things in? What's Auckland Council's top priority in that space?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. For me, it is around climate resilience and the infrastructure investment around that, because that work is expensive.
Mm.
Look, we're doing some stuff ourselves. You know, last week, Council approved the initial kind of nine principles, I think we called them, making space for water, we called it. I mean, that's making space for a lot of water.
Mm.
And these included things like bridge upgrades and better maintenance around our road corridor, but it mostly focused on other parts of our stormwater network. So this is stuff we're doing, things like blue-greening networks in critical flood risk areas, working with high-risk property owners on engineering solutions, managed street and property acquisition, culvert and bridge upgrades, overland flow path management, flood intelligence, stream rehabilitation, community-led flood resilience, all that kind of stuff. We've done that.
That's awesome, and that's really great to hear. And I'm also pleased to hear that that is Council's priority for the next couple of years as well. I want to talk a wee bit more, since we've touched on it already, about something that has also been making headlines this week in the wake of these conversations, which is potentially moving some of our roads to safer grounds. Mm-hmm. And this is a conversation that central and local government are having, not just in Tāmaki at the moment, but we are certainly having this conversation. Now, what's the sort of time timeline around that type of work? Because I imagine for some of the arterial roads that particularly suffered from flood damage, this is not going to be a very quick fix.
No, and this is a conversation that the mayor is having with the minister for Auckland, really around the integrated transport plan, which was the mayor's idea, and the minister for Auckland thought it was a great idea too, which is great, which means they've got together and they're putting some thinking around this. But also, I did notice in the government budget, you know, they have money aside for looking at detours. Looking at detours on our main state highway network, I think it's State Highway 1, 2, definitely 22 and 16. And if they're looking at their detours, they're looking at whether they are in the right place, those detours,
right,
and whether they're future-proofed. And this acknowledges that there may be, first of all, you've got to acknowledge you've got a detour that is future-proof.
Yeah.
And then once you've got that detour, whether it actually ends up becoming a little bit more permanent.
Mm.
So there is money in the government's budget for some quite serious look at those detours, and I think that will form part of it.
What about for people who are living in areas where they're now concerned are particularly flood prone and still sort of sitting in that limbo space of working out what's going to happen in the long term there? Is this a conversation that central government and local government are having?
Yeah, and it's more, I mean, we start with our own conversations around planning. You know, have we agreed for planning and housing development to be in the right place? And a big part of that is, you know, whether the houses should be built continually in the places that they're currently built in, or whether we should be a little bit more strong on the floodplain areas and potentially move housing away from that. And with that comes the associated infrastructure like roading. So it's a big plan piece of work, it's a big transport piece of work, but it's certainly, I think it's important for Auckland to just refocus where we are in that climate mess.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Rachel, Mayor's been away for a few days. He's been in Busan in Korea on a climate change conference. And, you know, my understanding is he's now come back really kind of fired up in that space too. So a little bit exciting to see his thoughts, you know, following attending that conference.
It will be. Let's come back to this, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty more to talk about this in the coming weeks. But I do want to touch on an investigation that RNZ's been doing into councils around the country, and particularly looking at how they are inspecting boarding houses. This is, of course, in the wake of the Loafers Lodge tragedy. And we've seen that Auckland Council hasn't been meeting its criteria. It's been inspecting boarding houses at least three times less often than MBIE recommends. What's going to be done to rectify this, Desley?
Well, first of all, I think we need to acknowledge what happened in Wellington was a very, very tragic event. And I think as a result of that, there are definitely learnings for everybody. But let's look at what we currently do. So all boarding houses that we have, where six or more people sleep, they're required to display what they call a building warrant of fitness. All right. Now, we've got approximately 17,000 buildings in Auckland that have that criteria. And of those, 155 are identified as boarding houses. And this includes lodges, hostels and backpackers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All have automatic fire alarm systems, and 46 of those have fire sprinkler systems. Now, you say, well, why don't they all have fire sprinkler systems? Well, you know, if you're a single level boarding house less than 500 square metres, you're not required to do that. So these buildings all have what we call a building warrant of fitness, and it's an annual certificate issued by the building owner that proves that all building safety systems are functional and operating effectively without any risk to health and safety. Now, that process is a legal requirement. And what the building owners have to do is engage independent, qualified people to inspect and maintain those safety systems every year.
This is all good, Desley, but
what happens is they put that in every year. They put that into council every year. So every one of them put those into council every year. And we have about 15 people full-time checking those annual certificates that are issued. So we are an auditor. We are not the deliverer of the certificate. We are an audit of the material.
While this is true, Desley,
so
just to interrupt you, sorry. Then, while this is true,
Hold on, can I just finish because it's really important.
Okay.
We audit that material and then we randomly select, we randomly do about sort of between 20 and 30% of those certificates that we get in every year. We randomly go out and check that what they're saying is correct. So, you know...
So that's great, Desley. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Desley. I do just want to interrupt you there because while this is fantastic, we are already seeing, though, that there are cracks and the council does have a responsibility as an auditor but also as a provider of safe infrastructure for people to live in. So we're seeing there are cracks. We've also seen this terrible tragedy in Pōneke. What I want to know is not what we're doing currently but what we're going to be doing and what the council is going to be doing to ensure that the cracks are filled and that we also have better wraparound services for those vulnerable populations. So that's what I'm asking you, Desley. Can you give me any updates on that?
Well, look, as I said, that will come through our regulatory committee if there are any changes. But as I said, our role is really an audit role, and that's what we do. If we were to increase that role and do something more proactive, like, be more regular in what we do, it would take more staff and more resource. And I suppose what we've got to decide as a council is, do we do that? Because, as I said, our role is to audit what the building owners send to us, and we do that. And on top of that, we check. And if anyone brings us up and they think something's happening illegally or whatever, we absolutely go out and check that as well. But we do not employ those independent qualified people. That's not our role to do that.
Okay.
That these people go out and check, elevators and escalators and fire safety systems and all that kind of stuff. It's the role of the building owner to have that certificate or to have that warrant of fitness, and it's our role to check it.
Okay. That is, I think, all we're going to have time for this morning, Desley, but we're so grateful for you coming on the show and speaking with us today. Plenty to keep talking about next week. Thanks so much for your time. We will talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a good one, Desley.
Thanks, Rachel.
Kia ora.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.